Okay. The last week we spent a little bit of time going through the Tosfos about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and now we want to move on to something else. I want to actually go back to something that we began discussing 2 weeks ago, the week before that. And that is, I want to speak a little bit about the concept of Shtaros. So the we alluded to it, but I said I would get back to it, and I want to do that now. Again, the Mishnah had established here that a maybe get from Medina Sayyam, Sarashiyam, and Paranyat, and Paranyat, as we have been discussing. The Takana de Rabbanan, that when you bring a get, when a Shliach La'olacha brings a get from Medina Sayyam, from outside of Eretz Israel, so he has to proclaim the Panay Nachtav, the Panay Nachtav. This was written and it was signed in my presence. And as we know, the Gemara explains that there are two possible reasons for that, the date, my Kaima, because the first line is on base on the Aleph, Rabba Amar Lefi She'ein Yekiyim L'Shma, and Rabba Amar Lefi She'ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaima. Rabba said the reasoning is because we're worried that outside of Eretz Yisrael there's not sufficient care taken that the get will be written Lishma, and the get was not written Lishma is possible, and therefore they were machmir to require the Fanei Nachtam to establish that the get was Lishma. Later on in Gimel and Aleph, in the bottom of Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara is going to ask the question, just look at it for 1 second, an obvious question. If you look two lines before the end on Gimel Amar Aleph, Man Haitana the Boy Ksiba Lishma, the Boy Chasiba Lishma. If really the reasoning that we required the Funai Nechtav, in my presence it was written and signed, is because of the requirement of Lishma, the personalized nature of the get. So why is it necessary that there be ksiva and chasima lishma? The basis for this question is, the Torah says, the kosav la sefer krisos. The Gemara goes on to kind of allude to the fact, on Gimel and Beis, that there seems to be a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, how to interpret the kosav. Rabbi Eliezer says the kosav says the kosav, and it means the kosav. And Rabbi Meir says the kosav means what's significant about the ksiva, namely the Chasima, the Chasam. So that's what the Gemara says. If indeed the reason for Panay Nechtam, the Nechtam, is the Shema, then Mimanachak, either you should require Ksiva, according to Rabbi Eliezer, or you should require Chasima, according to Rabbi Meir. But why do you require both? And the Gemara goes on to suggest maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda, maybe Rabbi Yehuda requires Ksiva and Chasima, or it's a bit of Mizuyah Pitocha. The Gemara is a whole discussion which we'll get back to. Either way, that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Lefi She'ein Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. The problem is that we're worried that the Shar will not be able to be verified or authenticated. Meaning that charge will be brought by the Baal that this is a forgery, and there will be no defense against that challenge, against that charge. And therefore you have to say the Fananakam, to establish that the Shtar really was authentic, that it was signed in the presence of this Ein Echad, that he knows that it wasn't a forgery. That's the Gemara. And the Gemara goes on and says, "My Benaya, what's an Afkamina? Dasu Betray." Right? If two people come and they are both acting as Shlichim, so if we're talking about the problem of Kiyum, verifying signatures, then you won't need the Fananakam. Why? I'm going to skip that for the moment. That's a debate in Rishonim exactly why, but hopefully we'll get back to that. But if it's a problem of Lishma, the fact that there are two doesn't make it any better than one. You still need to know that it was written Lishma. That has to do with the Sofer, not with the Shlichim. Inani Medina Bidu Beretz Yisrael, Inam Bosu Medina Bidu Sayam, etc. And then the Gemara asks this question. We'll probably get back to this next week, we'll just read it very quickly again. L'rabba double efficient the key of the Shmali Baitrei. How can you get away with one aid saying the Fanay Nachtam? Why don't you need two witnesses? After all, this is, as the Gemara says, Midi Dahaba, a call a Duyos Shabbatorah. Aidos generally requires two witnesses. So the Gemara says, Eidachod Naman Bisurin. And then the Gemara says, is this really Eidachad Nelem Bisurim? Eidachad Nelem Bisurim, Eimed Amar Minan, Eidachad Nelem Bisurim, because on Chatiha, Safek Hela, Safek Shuman, the law is Chazak Yisura. On Lachad is Chazak Yisura Deishasish. It's a Dover Shiva Erba, Vein Dover Shiva Erba, Papas Mishnah. And here, we're not talking about identifying a neutral object and saying, oh, it's also, it's what we're talking about, being Matir Yisho Lashuk, taking a woman who is a married woman, and establishing that she is now Muteres Lashuk. She can now remarry. That's a Dover Shiva Erba, and Dover Shiva Erba requires two. So finally, the Gemara says, Robikian, and really, we're not worried about this problem of lack of lishma, because the Sofrim are very, very, most of the Sofrim are very careful, and even Rav Meir, the Kai Shlomiyuta, Sam Sifri Dedaini Mikmer Kmiri, even he agrees that there's no reason to worry here, and Rabbana Ruda Hatsriach, the Hakadishim Aguna Kiluba Rabbana. And since it's only Rabbana, so therefore we can get away with a single aid and not require two aids. Okay. And then the Gemara says, is this a kula? I kula chumrahu? Isn't this a chumrah because by loosening the standards, you're opening the get up the challenge? If you had tighter standards, it might be more difficult for her to remarry, but her remarriage would never be subject to challenge. So the Gemara says, "These matzus of leitrei basabala ma'arer pasalei kad basabala ma'arer who pasalei." So the Gemara says, "Kiv no mamav tzei kavanosa rabbi yochanan b'chanina." Since the get is given and the b'fanenaktam is pronounced in the presence of either two or three, a kind of a besin, therefore we're certain that the Eid Echad will be very, very careful. He'll, you know, exercise great caution to make sure he knows what he's talking about. He doesn't want to be embarrassed in the presence of a either Edom or Bezdin, and therefore we're going to rely on him, and we're going to believe him, even against the challenge of the Baal. That's if you take the view of Rava, that the problem is a problem of Lishma. So basically, So according to Rava, we understand what the issue and what the problem is. The problem is that there's a standard of Lishma Gittin. We're not 100% sure that that standard was adhered to. We want to make sure that there's no opening, that there's no vulnerability in this get, that the accusation will be made that the lishma standards of the get didn't apply. We also understand why the daraisa were not concerned about this, because in the large, large majority of cases, lishma is properly applied, properly implemented. That's Rabba. However, when it comes to Rabba, the Gemara has a similar shaka to Tariya, as we already discussed. Then the Gemara says Rava, and here it's a little more difficult. The Gemara says Rava Damer Lepishen and Mitzvim Makaimo Libai Trey. Same idea. Rava said the reasoning is because we're worried about a forgery and we need to authenticate the contract, the get. So why don't you need two people to authenticate the shtar? Midda Ava Kiyin Shtaros the Alma. Normally, when you have to authenticate a contract, you need two witnesses to attest to the signature of the Eidim. So the Gemara says, again, Eidachon Nelem Bisurim. Again, the Gemara says, Eimud Amirin Eidachon Nelem Bisurim Gon Ketichot Sanafek Tchelo Sanafek Shuman Lo Yizchazek Avalach Yizchazek Yisurim Dei Shasis HaShadam HaShemer Veidach HaShemer Pachas Mishayim. And here the Gemara answers, how can you get away with Eidachon? The Dinhu Divikim Shtar Sanami Lo Libai Kidre Shmakish Ram Reshmakish Eim Asum Alashar Nasik Mishinachra A dusan de bezdin, rabbanan who the asher, v'halcha mishum aguna kilu bo rabbanan, and then the Gemara continues with the kula chumra issue, the same thing. So when it came to lishma, we understood why daraisa there was no problem, because rov militates that there is lishma. When it comes to the problem of ziyuf, right? Maybe this thing is a forgery to begin with; it's all a fantasy. So what's the Gemara's answer there? Why in the Torah can you assume that it's not Ziyuf? The Gemara quotes Rishakish. Eidim Ahasum Malashar, Eidim Husayn, and Ashar Nasa, Kini Shenechkara, Eidusam, the Benzin. Okay. Now the question is, what does that mean? That's what we started discussing 2 weeks ago, and I'd like to elaborate on that point today. What do we mean when we say that Edom HaKasum HaLashar, the Edom was signed in a document as if they were interrogated and found to be proper, authentic witnesses? Isn't that somewhat circular? The whole point is we're worried about the accusation that maybe this Shtar is Mizuyah, and we're saying, well, witnesses are kehilu interrogated, and they establish that they're not forgery. How can the witnesses say about themselves that they're not forgery? That's what we want to discuss today. Okay, we started discussing it last time. This is the linchpin, as I mentioned last time, of contract, Jewish contract law, and we want to discuss a little bit more what some of the implications are. Now Rashi says here, Nasa Commission Ekor Yisra B'Dezdin, Delo Chatzit Inish L'Ziyufe. Doesn't say this in the Gemara. Says it in Rashi. Rashi says that the heart of Reish Lakish is Big Chiddush, that the Edim are Kiilu, interrogated and found to be authentic, because they weren't. They're just a piece of paper and some ink, you know, that is dried up. They're a signature on a piece of paper. Right? This is based on the principle of Lachatziv Inish Luzufe. So in a certain sense, Rashi equates the problem of Rabbah and the problem of Rabbah. In a certain sense. I mean, what did Rabbah say? There's no deraisa problem of Lishma because the large majority of Sofrim do the right thing. And according to Rashi's understanding of Reish Lakish, what does Rabbah say? There's no real problem of forgery because Lachatziv Inish Luzufe. Right? Most people are not presumptuous enough to forge. Meaning there's a Chazaka, a Ruba, from Lesa Kaman, that people don't forge. Okay. Now, even if that were to be the case, it would be strange that we use the expression Edom HaKasumim Al Hashar, Nasa Kamishin Ekrejus in the bed. It sounds like it's something in Edos. Whereas according to Rashi, this is just a umdana, a rope. Moreover, the Gemara uses this expression, Edom HaKasum Al Hashar, Nasa Kamishin Ekrejus in the bed, in one other place, in the Bavli. And that is the Gemara in Ksuvis, Na'af Yudhas in the Bavli. That's a very important context. The Gemara there speaks about the following issue. You have a shahr, contract, not a get, a regular contract, real estate, loan contract, whatever the case may be, you have a contract, and in the contract you have the signature of two witnesses. Right? And then witnesses come to court and they say, Anusa Mayinu, Ktane Mayinu, Surieto Sayinu. We, when we signed this contract, we were coerced, right? We were Ketanim at the time, we were Psulim at the time, meaning we hereby reveal that our testimony, our previous testimony, is null and void. Can they do that or not? So the Gemara says about that kind of a case, Kibin Shehigid, because Reish Lakish says, Edom HaKasum Al Hashar, that's the commission effort just of the Bezdin. Right? Reish Lakish said that when they sign on the dotted line, right, that's like Eidos with Rish of a Kakira. We treat that like Eidos. When it comes to Eidos, let's say two witnesses would come to court, and they were to say, give testimony. And then, 10 minutes later, they came back to court, and they said, disregard everything we previously said. What's the rule? Kim Shigid, Shuvanakosar Magid. They cannot recant their testimony, all things being equal. Maybe with a Miku, that's a different case, but all things being equal, Kim Shigid, Shuvanakosar Magid. So Reish Lakish says, the rule of Kim Shigid, Shuvanakosar Magid applies not only to Eidos Al Peh, oral testimony, it also applies to written testimony. And from the time of the Chasima, because the Chasima is considered to be the Haggadah, Edom HaKasum Al Hashar, Nasa, Kimi, Shenechkar, this idea that the signature is also the equivalent of having been interrogated, right, means that at the time when they sign, that is the Haggadah. For example, when it comes to the Kashrus of those Edom, the critical moment is not the time when Bezdin receives the shtar, presumably, but the moment of the chasima. Let's say somebody was ate kosher at the time of the chasima, and then he committed some crime, right, that makes him possibly into this. After the chasima, before Bezdin receives this contract. Does his testimony stand? Sure. And vice versa. Let's say he signed, and at the time he signed, he was a Rasha, he was a Gazlan, and didn't do tshuva, right? Or he was a Karov of one of the parties, and then the Shachet, right, later on, whatever it is, he's no longer related, or he did tshuva. So at the time when Bezdin receives the Shar, he's an Eid Kosher. Right? So the Gemara in a bunch of places, Gemara about Basra, makes it perfectly clear that when it comes to Chatzimah, so Eidim, right? When it comes to the Eidim Shavishar, the Zman Chasima is Ikar. There's a discussion with Shulchan Aruch, Zman Chasima only, or even Zman HaNasira. But definitely not the Zman of Kabbalah, the Bezdin. This is based also on the Rif in Masechet Yeravam Islam and Alphan Base, but that's not for now. Maybe we'll have a chance to speak about that. What the relationship is between the Chasima and the Nasira. But either way, what I'm trying to establish is, Reish Lakish says, Eidim Asimah Shah Nasakri Shanakhtara Hedusa Mabestin, and that establishes, number one, Kashrus Hedus depends on that moment, even though Reish Lakish's phrase is not used for that, but that's undoubtedly connected. Number two, where the phrase does appear, Kivin Shehigit Shuvin Achozer Magid, an idea that we know from oral testimony applies to written testimony. You cannot retract, you cannot recant after the moment of the chasima. Does that have anything to do with Lochase Finish Luzufe? No, that has to do with Hedus. So, if Rashi's right, Lochase Finish Luzufe is the reason that the Shar, right, is protected against the claim of forgery, and Eidim Asumah Shar is La Dafka, then we just don't understand the Gemara and Tzuvos, Dafka Kasu the Mes, where that phrase appears, and it is meant literally in the context of Hedus. What? Nothing relevant to us here. A second question. In the Gemara on Beis Amidbeis, the Gemara says that even Rav Meir, the Chayish Lemiuta, Stam Sipri Dedaini Nigmar Demi. Okay, now that's important because, again, we spoke about this a little bit last year in Kulin, those of you who are here. Right, Rav Meir, in general, is worried about Miut. Normally we have a rule that Rove, right, if you have a probability, the Halakha operates with probability in most cases. Right. The Chachamim believe that we have a rov and a miut, right? Something which is probable, and then there's a remote possibility otherwise. The rov wins and works. Rav Meir was very conservative in this regard, right? And he felt that chashina l'miuta. However, the Gemara says, Sam Sipre Tadaini Migmar Gmiri is such a strong rov that even Rav Meir's discounts the miut. Okay? In light of our discussions last year, and Tosas here says, it's miuta the miut. Look at Tosas here. Stam sipri the dini make mark miri. I have a come on miuta the miuta, the lochashina na filo rabbi meir. So miuta the miuta, the way we explained it last year, we talked about etshul avara tsarach avara, right? Let's say you have a robe, a probability. But you have the ability to find out 100%. If I know something is 90% or 75% likely, and normally I can operate with that. But here I have the ability to find out 100%. Can I rely on the 75 or even the 90 when I can prove it 100%? Or only when I can't? It's only a fallback position. Epshel Abar, Sarek Abar, or Ein Sarek Abar? The huge machlokas. Most people pick up a shechita scalpel are experts, right? And therefore we rely on that rove. But if you can give the guy the bechina and find out, you know, whether he's not one of the, you know, few who are not mumchim, are you obligated to do so or not? A major debate in the Rishonim, Ramban, Balamor, the Raifa, the Ra'ah, we discussed it last year, like, right? The point is, when you have a miuta, the miuta as the Rav used to put it, when there's no leidos hasafek, when the rove is, you know, 95%, 98%, whatever it is, when the meat is so small, right, most people will say, apilum efshe levare in sof levare. Why? Not a serious safek, like we said last year. It's like crossing the street. You don't say, you know, every time you cross the street, you don't say, drifters are going. Right. Maybe you should. It's boulevard, they say. But unfortunately, things, really terrible things happen to people. But going forward, you don't say, oh, there's a 98% chance I'm going to make it across the street. We don't think that way. There's no way it's a safek until there's a problem. So the point, why am I telling you all this? That's just a good review from last year, but the point is, what's supposed to say? Miyuta the miyuta. Even a mayor does not worry. So this is such a strong rove that we understand well why there's no problem. But is lochasit inish luziyufei that strong? And if it's not, why don't we encounter the following problem? The Gemara here says, no, it's already, you don't need tiyum. You don't need to verify against the accusation of forgery. Right? Because of Reshlakish. And according to Rashi, supposedly that means, there's a Ruben delay, so come on, lo chatz finish luzif. Now, this isn't only in Gittin. It's also in Dine Mamanus. So, in Isurim and in Mephashos and in Mamonos, we have a principle. Ein Olchim B'Mamon Achara Rov. You need Eidos. Rov isn't enough. Yeah. Where you have a Rov which is so powerful that there's not even a Miut, right? That there's no Leidos HaSafek. So probably you could say that Rov Olchim B'Mamon Gamkein B'Mamon. But if you have a Rov and a real Miut, so normally we have this rule, Ein Olchem B'Mamon Acharov. So how can you say that Kiyum Sharos is only a Drabana and not Daraisa because of Reish Lakish, if all Reish Lakish is really saying is that there's a Rov? Unless you say that the Rov of Lekhatsa Tinishlus Yufay is as strong as the Rov of Stam Sipri Nadayni Mikmar Gmiri. Right? Maybe it is. But the Gemara here didn't say what it said there, namely, Yafil Rabbi Meir Lochayish Lemuta. So that, in short, the Gemara here uses the language of Eidos, not the language of Rov, in contrast to the Gemara of Lishma. The Gemara of Lishma not only uses the language of Rov, but makes it perfectly clear that it's a particularly compelling Rov. The Haraya Rabbi Meir is not even going to object. Whereas, the language of Eidos is what we find in Gimel and Aleph, not Rove. And even if it were a Rove, wouldn't the Gemara have to tell us that it was such a powerful Rove that it could work to be Motzi Momo? So Rashi's position is a little bit difficult. On the other hand, the other side of the coin is the Ritma, which I alluded to last time, but I want to read to you. You don't have this in front of you, but I do. I'm just going to read it very quickly. The Ritva raises the question in the other direction. Right, till now I've been saying, the Gemara says Reish Lakish here, and we know Reish Lakish is a Din of Eidos from the Gemara Tzuvah Sitchas on the base. The Ritva was actually bothered by the fact that Reish Lakish appears two times in Babli, in Shas, once in Tzuvah's Kim Shigashuv and Chozer Magid, and once here. He was bothered by the fact that these seem to be two totally different applications, and they shouldn't, they shouldn't be viewed as a single doctrine. Why? The kasha, my raya, my sinna, he do Reish Lakish. It's a little bit of an interesting beginning. It's almost like the Ritva assumes that the real Reish Lakish is the Reish Lakish of Ksumas. That's the original statement of Reish Lakish. I don't know why the Ritva assumes this, but I mean, Reish Lakish is quoted twice in Shas, once in Ksuvus and once in Gittin. How do you know that that's the original? This is an extended application. Maybe it's the opposite, or maybe they're both part of the original. We'll see in a minute. But in the question, the Ritva is saying, Why are we quoting Reish Lakish? Let's look at the other Reish Lakish, the one in Tzuvos, and see whether or not they're the same. Okay, this is the opposite of what I was doing before. I was doing before was saying, according to Rashi, they seem different, but from Tzuvos, you can see that what Rashi's saying is problematic. We'll get back to explain Rashi too. Ritva goes the other way. He calls her, my Raya, my see, but he's the Reish Lakish. The Chiyam Reish Lakish, Yedem Aksum Al Ashar, Nasa Kamisha Nakhtara, Haimu Le'inin, She'en Al Yechol Lomar Shum, Mevudin Anu, Hub Dishar Mekuya. So look at the Gemara of Sivis and Kessel and Faith. It's a far less ambitious halakha than what we have here. Not just less ambitious, totally different in his character. The way the Ritva portrays it, initially. What do we have there? Ritva says it sounds like what we're talking about is a shtar mekuyah. There's no question about the authenticity of the contract. The contract is perfect. What's the question there? Question of timing and recanting. Kivin shigit shigit achozer magid. If he was Eidus al peh, and the Eidim came to court and they testified, and they came back later and they said, anusim ayino, ktanim ayino, psuim ayino, would we listen to them? No, because of the rule of kivin shigit shigit achozer magid. And what's the question? The only question is, they didn't come to Beis Din. They wrote their John Hancock on the contract. So it's writing your John Hancock on the contract of a contract which is accepted, which is authentic, which is even maybe verified. Is that the same as testifying in courts with respect to the ability to recant? So Reish Lakish said, yes! Eid Maksum al Ashtar is like Eid Asalpeh with interrogation, and you cannot recant your testimony. But here, what are we saying? We're not sure whether the contract is authentic. And Reish Lakish says, you know what? It's authentic. Because it's as if it was interrogation and it was established as authentic. Wow! Who said that Reish Lakish ever talked about a shtar she'en mekuyah? Or another way to say that is, if we accept Reish Lakish with respect to the question of timing of the Eidus, does that mean that we will take a huge leap and also accept the idea that a shtar and the Eidim of the shtar protect itself in a circular way? Meaning, the Eidus of Ashtar say, we are authentic. When the question is whether or not they're a forgery, I think that's a huge leap. That's what the Ritva asks. Hainum inyan the Gemara, so this she'en and yechalim lo mashuv, mevudinan, if we were kidding you, or we were recanting, u'bishar mekuyah, but it's talking about a case where there's no question about the authenticity of the contract, just a question of whether the Eidim are held to their testimony in the authentic contract. Amol shtar she'en mekuyam, when you have an unverified contract, the ikav suke, you can wonder, shema lo chasu Eidim ne'olam, the whole thing is a forgery, it's just a sham. El mezuyafu v'ha minolam. Who said anything about Reish Lakish here? U'b'chiyai gavna, who the itra b'Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi says something like this. Amin and Hasam, Eidim Shidu, Bein Latame, Bein Latar, Bein Larachet, Bein Lakar, Bein Isa, Bein Ahetta, Bein Nisikos, Bein, not important for a moment. Imach lo nechro, Yisum Adezin, Chazur Yomru, Vadoino Yinu, Nemanim. If you have Eidim, and they testify, and they didn't come to court yet, and they want to back out before they come to court, they can do that. Right? Because there's no Kidim Shigim Shimon Chazur Magim. The Im, Mishenechkaru, the Mishenechkaru rather, Eidusan, Lebezdin, Amr Mavudumanu. So then, Eidamanim. Amr Ishlokesh, Eidamasu Malashtar, Nasuk Mishenechkaru, Eidusan, Lebezdin. Lomar Mavudin, Mekimin Shekosmu, Eidakolam Lomar Mavudin. So these are the scenarios that we have. If you have Eidos, and you didn't come to Beis Din, nothing has happened. It's not too late to recant. If you came to Beis Din, it's too late to recant. Then the question is, what about a contract? Too late to recant after you signed. That's all. But nothing more. So basically, we're kind of attacking on all sides. We have our Gemara here, which quotes Reish Lakish, about the self-protective mechanism of a shah. On the one end, we have Rashi, who seems to be saying the whole thing is a umdana, a rogue. As we pointed out, that's problematic. Number one, it seems to be formulated differently than based on the base. Two, then Reish Lakish has nothing to do with Reish Lakish and Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base. On the other hand, if we take Gimel and Aleph literally, then we have two problems. Number one, a very inherent logical problem. What does it mean that Edim, who are suspected of being a forgery, protect themselves? That's the logical problem. We also have the problem that it's true that, like Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base, we're dealing with an issue of Edus, but haven't we gone well beyond Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base? There we're talking about Shtar Mekuyam and timing, and here we're talking about some amazing feature of a contract and Edus in the contract. So we're kind of Kereach Mikan and Kereach Mikan. We just don't know where to turn. What? Yes, that's true. This was the real Reish Lakish. So then, Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base is just a pale, obvious application that flows from here. So the Ritzak is two answers. Maybe that's one of them. The Yesh Latar is below. Mar de Efshar de Kim Lohu, Vahid Reish Lakish, Vahid Bishtar Shed in the Kuyum Kamar. Which basically means, maybe we have like a Mesorah. Now, if you assume, like we just said, that the only thing we know about Reish Lakish is Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base, it's impossible from Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base to get through Gittin, Gimel, and Aleph. The road just doesn't lead you. It's not justified. But we have a Mesorah about Reish Lakish, and he thinks that Gittin and Bishtar are not just Neid Bishas Chasima, but Neid and Kivu Nechkar. If that's the case, for the Stam Neid of Aksuma Ashtar Kalmar, the Lomar Bethel Ashtar Mekuyam, because Neid of Mekuyam Nechkar Aydusun Menatorah, says. So it's quite to the first answer. It's kind of like a Mesorah. Like you say, another way to say that would be Gittin, Gimel, and Aleph comes first. Once you have Gittin, Gimel, and Aleph, Ksuvah Sefer Chesed on the base is not a problem. It's just not, you know, it's a little bit ho-hum. You know, what? It's anticlimactic. Exactly. I mean, it's obvious. But it's obvious, and not just obvious, but it's not, particularly noteworthy. Okay. That's the first answer. The second answer is more interesting. Banachon kamosha tira tzokeinu. The midomer is lakish data maksum ala shar nasa kemishrach rejus of the bad thing. Alma, the alima milsa vishtara, the leka lemechash lemichtam shikra vishtara. The hainu deina manim lomar shuv mibudin anu. What does that mean? If we were really worried about Sheker B'Shtar, then we wouldn't conclude that the Haggadah's Edus of B'Shtar is Mizman HaChasima. V'Hainu De'ein Amanim Lo Marshuv Mibudim Anu. The very fact that we say that the Shtar speaks from the moment of the Chasima and not just from the time when it's checked out, when it is verified in Beis Din, already shows you that Alima Edusa Bishtara. There's something about Edus Bishtar that goes beyond, that transcends, in other words, the facts of the case. And that in turn is relevant to our Gemara Gittin, namely, that the shtar defends itself. Umehani kaima da alima milsa vishtara, v'chal odam nizar sholaso shek of the shtar. Here he brings in again the idea of Rashi. The fact that shtar is this, document of great prominence and stature, right? We give it the benefit of the doubt. It's a transcendent kind of an angel. It's also the reason why we presume lachatzot imish lezufa b'shara, u'midina leke lemechash de mezuya, u'bedinu diyachal ha'asuyin ma'asis u'miksubas, etc. And the Ritva doesn't make clear exactly what he means here. But what we can take away from it are two things in the second answer. Number one, he's somehow integrating the Avis din of Resh Lakish, namely, that the Edom themselves are saying, Ein Hashkar Mizuyot, with the Chazaka, Lo Chatzif Inish Mizuyot. We need to explain why. And this might be true for Rashi too. Because Rashi didn't say, Edom Aksum Al Hashkar Ladakta. He just said, Lo Chatzif Inish Mizuyot. It sounds like the Ritva of the second answer is saying, Lo Chatzif Inish Mizuyot is both a result of and also a cause of Edom Aksum Al Hashkar. That's the condition after I do some investing. That's point number one. Point number two is, the Ritva sees in the application of Kibbutz Shehigid, Shubin Chozer Hagid, and the Hede Chatzim of the Shar, not just an issue of timing, when are they being named, but the idea that the Edom Shem Shar go beyond simply Hagadah Seifas. And that there's an element of we'll call it transcendent Eidos, Eidos beyond the actual token of the Eidos, that is at play here. And now I'll have to explain what exactly we mean by this. Okay. So what do we mean by this idea? So in order to understand that, we need to examine another issue, a very critical issue, about Shtoros. After all, the truth is that the very nature and character of Shtoros, in theory, should be under fire for at least two other reasons, even before you get to Resh Lakish. Understanding these issues will help us understand Resh Lakish better, too. What do I mean by that? Two things. Number one, the Mishnah says in Bava Basra that Kuf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, the end of Bava Basra, Bava Basra is a very big Masechta, so it has, 176 Adapim or so. So Kuf Samech Zayin, towards the very end there, last parak of Bava Basra, parak of Basra, the Mishnah says, Kosvin Shtar Lelova Apopi She'ein Malva Imo. Right? Kosvin Shtar Lebal, Apapishain, Ishto, Ima. Kosvin, Shtar, the Moher, Apapishain, Mokeach, Ima. What does that mean? It basically means that you have two parties in a transaction. Right? You have the, we'll call him the Niskayev, the person who is committing himself. He's going out on a limb, right? He's the one who's accepting, the risk, the responsibility, whatever the case may be. Right, he's the one who's obligating himself. And then you have the other party, the beneficiary of this. It's not always a proper or accurate characterization of the terms of the transaction. It could be, in some cases, in terms of the creation of a contract in the transaction. So, for example, Kosvin Shtar Lelova, right? You have a debtor and a creditor. Who's the miskayev, right, when it comes to the writing of a contract? The debtor. Right? The creditor, he's always lending, of course, he's always really putting his money on the line, but the commitment to write a contract is a commitment of the debtor, because he's the one who is going to have to be, he's going to be held to the standard of collection based on the shtar. Again, Kosvin shtar Lebal could get Lebal, Apavishen Ishto Ima. But the woman is the one who's going to receive the get, the one who's writing the get is the Baal. So what the Mishnah is saying basically is that the committed party can commission the writing of a contract even absent the presence of the beneficiary. Okay. Now, why is that important? Because basically what it means is not just that the process can begin, right, without the presence of the beneficiary. The point is that as long as the Niskayev, the one who's, you know, putting his legal status or options on the line, as long as he commissions the shtar, there's no problem. And the beneficiary is not going to object. But the point of the Mishnah is that the Edim do not have to be present beyond that initial preparatory step. When you commission the contract to be made, and it's written, and it's signed, at that point, the Edei Chasima can walk away. But when you think about it, that means that the Edim don't necessarily have to be present for the main event. What's the main event? In a loan, right? Handing over of the money, the matan mos. In a becher, a sale, right? The, you know, the exchange of the or the handing over of the own, you know, reins of ownership to the new owner. In the case of a get, the vice of gavership. Meaning the Eidei Chasima do not necessarily have to witness the main event. Tosafot says in Bava Basra that what if you have an Eid Echad? You need two witnesses, right? Normally. Let's say you have one Eid that signed the Mishnah in the transaction, and you have one Eid Al-Peh. Right? He's there and he's present, but he's not written into the Mishnah. So in that circumstance, can they join forces together and be two Eidim? Right? They're both testifying about the same transaction. One is a signature in the Mishnah. The other one witnesses the Nesira of the event. This is a question. So Tosas in Bava Basra says, perhaps not. Why? Because it's Eidus Miuchedes. The rule that the Eidim have to see the event together. It's Machlokas about it. And even if coincidentally, the Eid who signed in the Shtar happens to see the event, that's a coincidence. Because Kosvin quotes Mishnah, Shtar lo val v'shein mal v'imo. Meaning, for all we know, when we have the Shtar and all there is a signature in the contract, for all we know, the fellow was gone by the time of the event. So his Haggadah say this is at the time of the Chasima. The other fellow's Haggadah say this is at the time of the actual event. So that's Eidus Miuchedes. Now the question is, if you can commission the Shtar, and you can have the Eidei Chasima in the Shtar before the event, the presence is not required, right, to the actual event itself, so how can they ever serve as proper witnesses? What's going to happen later on? There's going to be a court case, and the malva, the creditor, is going to pull out his contract. And what does it say in the contract? Hey, let money to pee, right? Signed by the two witnesses. Right? Or A sold his properties, real estate, to B, and it's signed by the two witnesses. A divorced, right? Female B, and it's signed by two witnesses. But for all we know, the witnesses didn't see the gerushin, didn't see the actual handing over the real estate, didn't see the handing over of the money of the debt. For all they know, this was, you know, the grand plan of the malva of the baal of the mocher, and it never happened. So how can they be used as Edim on something that they didn't see?
That's a
downside. Sorry? That's a downside. It didn't happen. Why not? The Malva wants to collect. The Malva says, you owe me $100. The Malva says, I never lent you a penny. The Malva says, I have a shtar. But, and say the Chasima. But the Chasima don't know if you lent the money. Who said there are no Eidim and Sira? We're talking about Rabbi Meir, Eidim Chasima. No, there's a debate between our, we will, but there's a debate between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer says Eidim and Sira Karsi. You need witnesses to see the handing over of the Shtar. Okay. The Rabbi Meir holds Eidim Chasima Karsi. You don't need an Edom to see the transaction. I'm asking classic Edei Ashar Edei Hasidim. More generally, we talk about maybe Ashar Kenyan, whatever, we'll get to that, for sure. But I'm talking to the mayor now. If you pass it like a mayor, which many Rishonim do, Edei Hasidim Akarsing, and you say, Kost Ashar, Hava Pishayin, you know, so then it's quite conceivable that I don't Edom on the Mesir at all. So if I know Edom on the Mesir, how do you know that the guy lent the money, that he sold the field, that he... If he did hold Edom on the Mesir, you're right.
How is it to you?
Right?
I'm selling my money to you. Where did you get me
in that?
No, why
did
you
want to
have to get it?
Let's say I prepared a document, a contract, and I changed my mind. Well, he decided he didn't want the loans. Well, he decided he didn't want the Necker. Ah! Okay, what does that prove?
So, as
he had to get there. It fell out of his pocket. It fell out of the Lovis pocket. It fell out of the Lovis pocket. So then he has no right to collect with it. That's exactly, you're right, but I want to...
What's the downside?
No, there is a tremendous downside. You're just adding now another... The downside is that it's fraud and that there never was a transaction. That's a huge downside. But you're raising another point, and that is, well, if there was no transaction, how did he get his hands on the shop? So the Gemara speaks about that. The Gemara speaks about that in Bava Metzia.
Without the presence of the Lord.
The Malva writes the Shtar, and now the Malva is holding on to it. How did he get it? The answer is, the Gemara speaks in Bamatsiya. Itra, Choshen, Lenefila. So the question is, the Edom... Why?
Because he's writing the debt.
Okay. And it ends up in her hands.
And ends up in her hands?
Yeah. But how do we know that he gave it? How do we know that it was given?
It was given.
I mean, maybe it didn't just fell out of his pocket. The answer is now, it's the answer. So the answer is what you said, which is, how did it end up in the other fellow's pocket? But it's not so simple, because is that an Umdana or is that Agus? I mean, it's very unlikely, we all agree, not impossible.
Yeah.
It could fall out of his pocket and be picked out. But is it unlikely? It's unlikely. So now, when the fellow, she comes to court, and she says, I want to remarry. Here's my gift. All there are in a chasima. And we rely on this to let her remarry. Based on the umdana, or is it based on the egos? The egos didn't see a thing, conceivably. So based on umdana, you let her remarry? This is the problem. This is the issue. So this is the problem. The Nesivas HaMishpat, the very famous piece.